Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, today is the final of our sermon series entitled Love Reigns. We have been encouraging ourselves to allow the love of God to reign in our lives every day. Of course, the first week we celebrated, it was Easter weekend, and it was a great day for celebrating. We celebrate Jesus' life, death, and especially his resurrection because we know that the resurrection is the proof that he is who he claimed to be, that he is the king over all and has authority over everything. The second week of our series, we looked at how God's reign, love's reigns over our past. Through our mistakes and our sins, often they can be compelling to us, often they can be burdensome to us. They certainly have consequences, but they don't have to control us. And finally, last week, we discovered how God's love gives us a promise for our present. If we can understand the patterns that are developing in our lives and we can see those patterns and change those patterns, they can be healthier for us in our present time to live and obey God. Now, the final week of our series, let's see. We talked about the past, we talked about the present. So, of course, today we talk about the future, specifically how we can allow the love of God to reign over our future. I remember as a kid, many of you probably had this same toy. I had a little toy that would tell me what the future held. And of course, that is the magic eight ball. I used it for all kinds of questions, things that I wanted to know about the future. You'd shake it up and the mysterious blue liquid and the little triangle answer would tell you what was going to happen. I would ask questions like, would my middle school crush like me back? And the answer always was something like, don't count on it. Ah, rats. I'd ask it if my grades were ever going to improve, and it would say, better not tell you now. And I ask about my future career, and it would always say something like this, ask again later. Yep, it didn't know everything. Maybe didn't know anything at all. This little toy, which actually came out in 1950, is just one of those signs that our culture is so eager to know what's going to happen in the future, even if it's just a toy. I'm sure we have all wondered from time to time, maybe even multiple times a day, what the future holds for us. Sometimes we wonder about the future because maybe the current situation that we find ourselves in is just so painful and we're looking for a way to get past that. What is it going to look like, God, when I get past this challenge in my life? And sometimes we wonder because we're excited about what's coming. Maybe it's a new job, it's a new love, maybe we've got babies on the way or grandbabies on the way. Well, sometimes, not always, but sometimes our curiosity about the future can slip into this unhealthy obsession about what is to come. And we call that unhealthy obsession worry. Worry is an all-consuming use of our time, our energy, and our attention on things we really can't control at all. We worry about all sorts of things. We worry about finances. We worry about family. We worry about our lives and the things that aren't in our control. Now, I want you to know that I'm right there with you. If you're worrying about something right now, if you've got things going on in your life, I'm right there with you. And I'm so glad that we get to tackle this tough question and this challenge together today. Because I have worries too that keep me up late at night. And I want to get better. I want to follow God's will. So we're going to find out together what that will is. You see, the problem with worrying is that it never improves our situation. Planning for the future, looking towards the future, that's a good thing, but simply worrying about it, it doesn't improve. The only way to cure this sickness of worry is to put our trust in something tangible, something physical, something that's real, and what better than that than the love of God shared with us through Holy Scripture, as Pastor Neil shared in the children's message. That Bible is our lens, our perspective, our viewpoint into what we see in the world. And based on what we see in the Bible, we can see the truths. And the truths are that God is in control. We don't have to be worried about our future. Jesus spent a lot of time speaking to this struggle that we have with worry, specifically in Matthew chapter 6, where we're going to spend some time today. He said in verses 25 and 27, he said, therefore I tell you, listen, you hearers, now listen to me. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? We're going to spend some time pulling on that thread that Jesus is intuiting here. Even though this passage of Scripture was written 2,000 years ago and these words from Jesus were 2,000 years ago, it's certainly applicable in our lives today. It seems humans have always had an unhealthy obsession about what's going to happen in the future. So my first point today is something that we need to understand, and that is God sees you. Hey, Pastor Dan, that's kind of an interesting way to put it. I know God loves me. I know God is with me. God sees me. How does that help me in my life? Well, we're going to talk about that. Jesus tells us that we don't need to worry. We don't need to worry about our daily needs. We don't need to worry about our daily wants, what's going to happen in the future. But I need to stop and clarify something. Because I'm not saying that God says we don't have to be concerned at all about our life and our needs and the future. There's a difference between planning and thinking about things and making plans for. But it's not everything. Worry is something completely different. The Greek word here is used, and it's called merimnao. That's how you pronounce that. And it means to be anxious. Literally, to be divided into pieces, pulled in different directions so you are distracted and unable to focus. You should most definitely be thinking about considering your plans for the future, but not to the extent that your worrisome thoughts are keeping you from enjoying things in the present. There's a balance there, as is everything in our Christian lives. The reason our Lord gives us this important lesson is our lives are made up of just more than our physical desires and our physical needs. There's so much more out there, he says. God offers proof for his ability to provide for us, right? And Jesus says, look at the birds. God provides for the birds. Yes, they plan and yes, they gather, but they're not worrying about what's going to come tomorrow or the next day. God provides for them, and so much more. God loves us, and he will certainly provide for us. We must allow ourselves to trade in what we don't know about the future for what we do know about the love of God for each and every one of us. Worry is not worth it because it doesn't add any hours to our days, right? It doesn't add any hours to our life. If anything, it actually takes hours away. It reminds me of the line in the Lord's Prayer where we say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need today, God. Not too much that we forget about trusting you for our future, and not too little that we're tempted to take matters into our own hands, but give me just enough for today. That's how we learn to trust day by day, asking this same prayer that it will be done to me even as I pray to God. Even when we don't know what's around the corner, we know who is around the corner, and that is God, and he will be with us. Trusting God for our future can instill that deep hope that he is there before we even arrive there. If we can keep that in mind, going to bed each night and say, God is going to be with me tomorrow. He's going to be with me during that interview or that challenging discussion or whatever the case may be. He will be with me. Therefore, I don't need to worry about it now. My dad worked for Pocahontas County in Iowa for, the plaque says, 42 and a half years. I'm not sure why the extra half, but 42 and a half years, apparently the county tracked those kinds of things. When he retired, 42 and a half. He mostly drove. He drove gravel truck, he drove the road grader, he drove the highway grass cutter, did a lot of the things. In rural Iowa, there's a lot of road, and pretty much everything he did was driving. Probably hundreds of thousands of miles, at least 8 hours a day on roads. And for years, I know that he would listen to talk radio when he was driving. And when I was old enough to be paying attention, it became obvious that his views and opinions were being shaped and based on what he was hearing from those talk radio hosts. And I think they really fed into his anxiety. Dad didn't show much emotion, but I can remember so often him really getting whipped up about the things that he would listen to. And we're back in the 90s and the early 2000s, the political divisiveness, the struggling economy, the potential wars. And it sounds like the same things that we have going on in our world today, doesn't it? He was anxious about his future. And I think one of the unexpected benefits of retirement for him was that he no longer had that daily dose of talk radio, that daily dose of heightening his anxiety. Because I think we too will fall into the trap of anxious thinking. But I hope that we can remind ourselves of our Father and that He sees us. He knows us. He knows us so well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows what we're going through. He knows what our future holds for us. Through Scripture, we know that God has a plan for every single person on the earth. He has a great plan for each and every one of you who are here today and each and every one of you who are at home. For many of you, it was to be a mother. And being mother and having motherhood as part of your abilities and skills and prospects that God gave you has been a wonderful thing. And again, we celebrate today as Mother's Day. One of the most quoted scriptures of all times is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It's a promise given to the Jewish people, but I believe it's something that you and I can hang on to today. "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord." And this is the punchline. "The plans I have are good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God has a future in mind for you. And we can experience that future when we begin to let go of trying to control everything in our lives, when we begin to submit to Him and His overriding love that overrides everything in our past, the things in our present, and everything coming tomorrow. Because worrying about the future, it doesn't have any positive effects. Planning for the future, that's something different. But just worrying about the future, having an unhealthy obsession, it does nothing positive for you. Sometimes it causes you to be paralyzed by fear. Sometimes we think about those opportunities and those decisions and those challenges that need to be met ahead, and we get kind of paralyzed because we don't know what to expect. Well, friends, if we come across some of those challenging times or you've got a decision to make, there are always three questions that Christians can ask themselves to see if this thing that's coming is aligned with God's will. Is God leading me to do this, whatever this is the case? Question one, as a Christian, I would ask myself, does this opportunity in my life align with Scripture? Would I be violating some kind of direction that's already been given to me in God's Word? If I'm going to be doing that, then there's probably a good chance it's not part of God's plan for me. The second question I might ask myself is, will this opportunity make me more like Jesus? As Christians, little Christs, that should be our goal in life, to be more like the way Jesus lived among His people. If you're going to take part in this activity or decision, will it make you more Christ-like? If it will help you and shape you and mold you into who God wants you to be, then there's a good chance that God is putting this opportunity forward for you. And the final question we might ask ourselves is, will this opportunity benefit others? Will this decision result in the blessing of other people around me, or is it only going to impact me? Because God is always looking for willing people to help serve others in need. We talked a long time last week about serving others. Well, if it's going to do that, if you can answer yes to this question, will it benefit others? There's a good chance God is leading you down that path. So to discover God's plan for your future is to live into the purpose for which you've been created. Mark Twain said it this way. He said the two most important days of your life are the day when you're born and the day that you find out why you were born. Your future is tied to your purpose and God's plan. You put those two things together and you're going to have a good and godly life following His path for you. So God sees you. That's my first point. The second point, seek God first. God sees me. What should I be seeking in my life? The things of God. Jesus gives us a sure way to ensure that our future falls in line with His will for our lives instead of our own will. It's about setting up priority. As we've been talking, our priority, our perspective, our viewpoint, it's so important to consider, especially with the world vying for all of our attention and taking us in all sorts of different directions. If we base ourselves solely on the Word of God, things would be so much easier for us. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus continues kind of talking people down from their anxiety. He says, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And then there's two places that are underlined here that I've added. Therefore, do not be anxious. I've told you why you don't have to be anxious. Therefore, don't be anxious. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. He's saying, the pagans worry about stuff like that. You're God's people. You don't have to worry. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And now we come to our second underlined. Therefore, do not be anxious. I've told you why. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now verse 33 says we should seek first the kingdom of God. That was right in between those two underlined portions of Scripture. This should be our priority in our Christian life, to seek the kingdom of God. Living to see the kingdom of God on earth should be the goal of every Christian. It should be the defining aspect of our life. How many more of us instead are focused on popularity or staying at the right point in our social media platforms, finally getting that house on the lake or finding true love? Now, don't get me wrong, none of those things are bad. But they often will cause us to veer off of God's path when you make them a higher priority than following God's purpose and plan. Jesus said, if we seek God first, then everything else kind of has its normal way of falling in place. When we seek God first and we see a new relationship coming our way, it's often proof that God is watching over us, that that's what God wants for us. When we're seeking God first, we will live a life of humility, and that will be what we're known for, not for trying to get ahead all the time. When we seek God first, the wants and desires of the world look more aligned with the things that God would want us to do. It's like this. I'll use this illustration. It's like this glass jar is our future. And some of us fill our lives first with all the worldly wants and desires, all the sand and the small rocks in the bottom here. But what can happen is we fill our lives up with all that stuff that clutters it, and then there's no room for the big stuff that God wants to give us, right? So not all of the big rocks fit into our life. However, on the next slide, if you were to fill your life first with what God desires for you, and then talk about all those other worldly desires, pour those in the sand and the gravel and the small pebbles, they all kind of go in around the corners and edges. This is why Jesus said, put the kingdom of God first. Everything else will be added. So don't worry about your future. Your future is in God's hands, and he's got very capable hands. Jesus says today has enough things to be worried about without worrying about things that haven't even happened yet. Much of us spend time, so much time, worrying about things that will never come to pass. Right? We worry about things and we get to that point in our life and we think, why was I worried about that? I was expecting the worst, and the worst rarely, if ever, happens. Which brings us to our final point today. We need to use our time wisely. We only have so many days in our lives, so many hours, so many minutes, so many seconds. God knows what those numbers are, right? But we don't. Therefore, our future should be stewarded well. The author of Psalm 90 had this concept in mind when he wrote, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." The author's writing a prayer for us. He's asking us to be aware of how we use our time. Do we spend it worrying about things, or do we spend it on things of God and his plans? A survey many years ago, actually in the late 80s by U.S. News and World Report, said in a lifetime, the average American will spend 6 months sitting at stoplights, 8 months opening junk mail, and I'll add email there as well, 1 year looking for misplaced objects. I've spent well over 1 year already in my life. In a lifetime, the average American will spend 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls or emails, 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, and 6 years eating. I do more eating than that, too. Now, as I said, this was the late 80s, so this doesn't even include all those years scrolling on social media or surfing the web or tapping like crazy on your phone, right? As you live your life, it's important that you ask yourself if the places that you're putting your time and your energy and your attention and your affection, are they the most important places that you can be doing that? I'll ask you this question. In 150 years, where do you plan to be? What will you be doing? I hope that your answer is not, well, I'm going to be doing the same thing I'm doing right now. No, I hope that you plan to be with your Lord and Savior in heaven. Well, if that's the case in 150 years, then what is so critical about worrying about tomorrow? Because eventually, this temporary life, this short span of life, will be gone. And what we'll be left with is living with God in eternity. As we wrap up our Love Reigns series, I ask that you consider the truth that Jesus and what he did, living for us, dying for us, rising as we will rise one day, that all of those truths cover everything else in our lives. We can allow that love to reign over our past. We know that he covers our sins and mistakes. It can cover our present. We know that if we look at the patterns of our life and we want to shift them to be more like God's will, we know where to go. We've got Holy Scripture with us. And we know that God's love reigns over our future as well, because he is there waiting for us when we arrive to the future. Your Savior's love reigns over all of his children. That's you and me, everyone watching online, everyone in the world that has faith in his Son's name, in his Son's life, death, and resurrection. So I pray that as you are considering your life over the next week, that you will think about those things that are robbing you of your time, maybe robbing you of your sleep, and turn those things into hope for tomorrow instead of worry about tomorrow. That you can see all the energy and strength and challenges that you're going through in life. They don't have to be that way. You don't have to worry about them before you even arrive to them. And that you can put your trust in God's overwhelming love instead. Ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.